Chapter 11. The next morning, Lexi was glad to take a break from investigating and focus on affairs at her bakery. Her assistant and best friend since high school, Cassie, was helping her finalize the menu for the Kingsley brunch the next day. They didn't have a lot of customer action, so they hung out in the kitchen, mixing and baking their usual cookies, cupcakes, bars, and pies, while discussing the Kingsley's menu and taking turns running out front to service the customers that came in. "I already have several different quiches planned," Lexi said, as she poured a tablespoon of vanilla extract into the batch of sugar cookies she was mixing. "But I think we should make up some finger sandwiches, too. I have a great cranberry chicken salad recipe."
"That sounds delish."
Cassie was bent over at the waist, her eyes level with the table, her pink-tipped, spiked blonde hair bobbing up and down like a bird's crest as she applied turquoise fondant tarts to the side of a cake. Lexi had hired Cassie when she'd first opened the bakery because she knew she could trust her. Since then, Cassie had become quite adept at cake decorating and was proving to be an excellent baker herself.
"So, what is going on with the Pendleton case?" Cassie asked.
Lexi had told Cassie all about the murder they'd witnessed with Ida's drone and had been keeping her up to date with the subsequent events. In return, Cassie, who was married to Jack's partner, John Darling, promised to pass along anything she heard from John.
"Oh, did I forget to tell you?
Yesterday, Rupert showed us pictures on his iPhone of Olive in France." Cassie's head jerked up from her task.
"You mean she's not dead?"
"No, we still think she's dead. Ruth said that he could have photoshopped them to make it look like she is alive and in Europe."
"Well, that's true. My brother does a lot with Photoshop, and he makes all kinds of crazy memes and other weird photos."
Cassie bent back down to her task.
"So you think the husband did that to perpetuate this plan of pretending she's still alive? What do you think he's done with the body, though? John said it's pretty hard to hide a body for any length of time."
"That's what Jack said, too. We're not sure, but we think maybe she's in the pond."
"But what do you think his plan is? I mean, he can't pretend she's in Europe forever. Doesn't she have a book signing next week?"
Cassie straightened back up and tapped her finger on her lips.
"And I think I read something about an author conference, too. We think he might be planning to pretend that she disappears."
Lexi plopped the dough out onto a floured marble slab, grabbed her rolling pin, and started rolling it out. "You know, like what happened with Agatha Christie back in the 40s?
"That's right. Her car was found mysteriously abandoned." "I bet that would generate a lot of interest for Olive's books. Probably more interest than if she just died."
Cassie opened the oven, grabbed some oven mitts, and pulled out a tray of brownies, allowing the smell of chocolate to perfume the room.
"But why pretend she's in Europe? That doesn't seem to make much sense."
Lexi rolled the dough to the perfect thickness.
"Not much of what he's doing is making sense. Maybe he wants to pretend she disappeared over in Europe because then the police here won't get involved."
Lexi picked up a heart-shaped cookie cutter and started cutting out the cookies, pressing down into the dough and then prying up the shapes and transferring them to a silicone baking sheet.
"Good point. Maybe he's not so stupid after all,"
Cassie said. The bells on the front door jangled, indicating a customer.
"My turn."
Lexi peeled off her food service gloves, tossed them in the trash, and headed out front, where four gray-haired ladies stood in front of the pastry case with their heads bent together.
There was something familiar about the ladies, and Lexi figured it was that they reminded her of Nan's, Ruth, Ida, and Helen, who often came into the bakery to relieve her of the brownie ends and broken cookies.
"I think we should get cookies this time, Florence."
A lady in a navy blue shirt tapped the glass case in front of Lexi's display of frosted cookies. Since it was summertime, she'd done a variety of different flowers in all colors. "They look spectacular if you present them in a basket," Lexi said.
"I don't know," a woman in yellow said. "We had cookies last time. I think we should go for bars and brownies this time."
"You could do both," Lexi suggested.
"True."
Navy blue shirt looked up at Lexi.
"Do you have a discount for the ladies' auxiliary?"
"Ladies' auxiliary?"
"Yes, we put on functions every month."
Yellow shirt narrowed her eyes.
"You didn't know?"
"Oh, yes. Sorry, I've heard about your functions from my grandmother," Lexi lied. Best to butter up the customers and make them feel important.
"We're trying to get Olive Pendleton to speak at our next one. She's coming out with a new book, you know,"
Navy Blue Shirt said. A third woman, this one in a red shirt, huffed.
"Except she hasn't replied to us."
"I'm sure she's very busy,"
Yellow Shirt said. "I heard she was in France," Lexi said. The ladies frowned at her in unison, their faces folding into dozens of wrinkles.
"France? We doubt that."
"Why?" Lexi asked.
"We are her official Brookridge Falls fan club, and we know all of her comings and goings. We weren't alerted to any trip to France,"
Red Shirt said.
"And furthermore, I don't think she's left her house,"
Navy Shirt added. "How would you know that?" Lexi asked. The ladies exchanged guilty looks.
"Well, we sort of keep an eye on her."
Now Lexi remembered why they looked familiar. These were the people she'd seen driving by in the car at the Pendletons' neighborhood. If they kept an eye on the house, they might have seen something. She needed to butter them up, loosen their tongues, and keep them talking.
"We're not stalkers," Red Shirt added.
"Of course not." "This is your first time buying cookies in here, isn't it?" Lexi asked. The ladies nodded in unison. "Well then, this order is on me. Pick out whatever you want and I'll fill up a box for you. In fact, why don't you try some samples?" Lexi pulled out the tray of bite-sized samples she kept and handed it over the case. The ladies passed them around, carefully choosing their little pieces and making num-num noises as they sampled. Lexi took the opportunity to interrogate them. "I'm catering a brunch right near the Pendletons. Olive sure is eccentric."
"I'll say," Navy Blue Shirt said. "Why, do you know she sometimes has her assistant go to offer conferences in her stead?"
"You don't say," Lexi said. "Do they look alike?" Yellow Shirt shrugged and swallowed a big chunk of frosted brownie.
"They're the same height, same hair, which I think is done on purpose. And if the assistant doesn't talk to anyone that personally knows Olive, then all the papers see is someone that looks like Olive doing things Olive should be doing."
"But why does she do that?" Lexi asked. "I would think she would want to go to those places herself."
"No. In fact, if you go to our official fan page on Facebook, you'll see that she is somewhat reclusive."
"Then you think she wouldn't want to travel off to France." Lexi accepted the tray back from the ladies, put it in the case, and started constructing the white bakery box. "Pick out whatever you want, and I'll fill the box for you."
"Yeah, that's why we don't think she's in France.
navy shirt tapped her fingers over some coconut-covered brownies, then moved to some macaroons. Lexi dutifully put two of each in the box.
"Because she likes to stay home?"
Lexi asked. "Well, that, and the fact that she hasn't left her house all week." Yellow Shirt bent and squinted into the case. "Can we have some of these chocolate scones?"
"Sure."
Lexi picked up chocolate scones and nestled them in bakery paper, then laid them in the box. "But how do you know she hasn't left her house all week?"
"Like we said, we're on watch. We monitor her comings and goings. Sometimes we even get a photograph for the page. There's a few others who take shifts for us. Between us, we've been there quite a bit this week, and the only activity we've seen has been the sister coming and going in her little white Fiat. In fact, seems she's still there. Oh, and the husband took his truck out last Saturday and came back with a load of stuff for that gazebo they're building. He was gone an awfully long time. But Olive hasn't left that house all week."
As the ladies picked out pastries, Lexi put them into the box on autopilot, her mind whirling with new information. Was it possible they had been watching the house the entire week? Surely they wouldn't be able to watch it all day and night. But if Olive had left to fly to Europe, wouldn't they have seen her? And why was the sister still there when she lived just on the other side of town? Too bad they hadn't been there when Olive fell off the balcony. They'd have witnessed it and called the cops. But in order to have seen Olive fall, they would have to have been in the backyard, or in the Kingsleys' backyard. The patio wasn't visible from anywhere else. Couldn't Olive have taken the Fiat? Borrowed it or something?
Oh, no. She only ever drives the red Cadillac.
The ladies left, thanking Lexi profusely with their overstuffed box. Lexi couldn't wait to tell Nans and the ladies this latest discovery, because everything the four women had said further reinforced the theory that Olive was dead and Rupert and the sister had something to do with it.